Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Still, the craziest thing to me is that someone looked at a lobster one day and was like, I bet that's good.
Right. Look at this.
Yeah, I gotta crack that thing open, see what's inside.
Somebody was just desperate, man.
Yeah. There are certain foods.
It wasn't like you go to a restaurant.
A homeless mermaid? Like, who saw it in the sea? Was like, I gotta get that.
Aren't all mermaids homeless? Do they have
No, they've got homes, they've got caves and stuff.
No mermaid is homeless because the sea is their home, man. There's no such thing as a homeless mermaid.
It's like saying you're the right, land is our home. That's stupid. No, that's not how that works.
I think it is. You ever seen The Little Mermaid?
I have, yeah. And she had her own area.
Of the sea. She had a castle, right?
Yeah, she had a castle down there.
No, but you're right, Jay. And there are foods that somebody just got really desperate. Tried it and then was like, oh, this is actually pretty good.
Somebody was starving as hell and got bit by a lobster on the fucking while he was walking in the water.
I don't think they bite.
Then reach down. But you know what I mean. When they hit you with their claws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They reached down and was like, I'm gonna eat you in revenge.
I want a food drunk history with J. King. Yeah.
I think it would be great.
How we got food.
Jerome, set it up.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
Yeah. With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Mo Dakio. We got Jay King. We got a skeleton crew today, but we got what we need, fellas. Coming up on the show, LeBron won an award. Kyrie says he's not leaving. The Warriors and the Heat might be in trouble. We got a little MVP banter to go through as we started off with, guys. We've got to start putting Devin Booker, not just like, oh, should he be an MVP conversation? That's soft. That's weak. That's such a cop-out, right? So why isn't this guy getting more MVP conversations, right? This is what happened. Ja Morant's out there even saying, hey, Devin Booker needs to be on these MVP rankings, on these MVP ladders. He needs to be in the top five because we had some list got put out there by Michael C. Wright. List got put out there. He had Embiid 1, Jokic 2, Giannis 3, Tatum 4, Luka 5, and Ja Morant quote tweeted that with still no D Book. And if we think about it, he's been phenomenal. They didn't fall off when Chris Paul was out for weeks after the All-Star break. And Jay, like, if you look at this, best team in the league by far, right? They have run away with this one seed throughout the entire playoffs. He has been at an all-NBA level. And there's got to be a certain point where that leads to serious MVP conversations and considerations.
Yeah. So where I'm at with the MVP is I know who the top three should be. And that's in whatever order. Mm-hmm. Embiid, Jokic, Giannis. And that's what you want to do. What you want to do with the fourth and fifth spots is totally like either flavor of the month or your preference. Like there are a lot of guys that aren't really separated for those spots. And I think Booker, because of what he's done, because of how the Suns have played all season, and not only that, but also when Chris Paul was out and the way they continued to execute without the point guard who's known for leading execution. Like that's a huge feat. Mm-hmm. And I think Booker deserves a lot of credit for that. Where it's tough to gauge like Booker's place in this to me is because the Suns, they separate themselves because they are super deep. They have a lot of guys who are good NBA players and they all play defense. They all execute. Like you watch that team and they execute in fast motion. It's like fast forward compared to a lot of the other teams that are just like slogging away. And so it's hard for me to tell like how much credit Devin Booker deserves individually. I know he's been great. I know he should be in any conversation for all NBA, any conversation for the fourth or fifth spot in the MVP ranking. But it's hard for me to determine like just how much individual credit he should get, or whether he's getting too much because he's on the best team.
Yeah.
And it's a weird case where like the, I feel like,
but like when you look at it though, Jay,
yep.
Like when you, when CP was out, these are his numbers, right? 28.2 points a game, 52.1 from the field, 40.3% from three, 7 assists, just under 3 turnovers a night. Like, those are big time numbers.
Also, yeah,
like
also those, for the entire season, when Chris Paul and Devin Booker are on the floor together, the Suns are plus 11 per 100 possessions, which is insane. I mean, like, but when you take Chris Paul out of the equation, they drop down to just plus 9.1. Like, they're still completely dominant. And you're right. Jay, you're right. Like, some of that is like, this team is just a machine at this point, right? But Mo, like that, like there is no drop off. Like, you read those numbers. Like, those numbers are ridiculous.
They're absolutely ridiculous. And that was always the knock, right? Like, well, he's playing with CP. CP's going to take away from some of his MVP stuff. Like, he steps up in big ways. Go watch, if you have any doubt of how he's looking, go watch what he did against the Denver Nuggets in the second half. He was unreal, dropping 49 points. Yeah. But it was like, it was plays where he would miss the shot. Jokic gets the rebound. He just steals the ball from Jokic, find Ayton for the alley-oop. Okay, fine. He has a almost turnover, gets the ball, kicks it out to Campaign in the corner for a three. Payne misses the free throw, just rips the rebound out of Jermichael Green's hands and gets an and one. It's like plays like that where you could just see like the urgency and everything he has going with it. It's hard. Like, it's really hard. And then when you look at the fact, like, they're going to be the only team in the NBA that wins 60 games this season.
Yeah.
Right. Like, they're the closest team is 8.5 games in Memphis, right? In the Eastern Conference, I mean, God, the Heat with 47 wins have the top wins in the East. I mean, 13 wins behind the Phoenix Suns. Like, it's just unreal everything they've done this season. Like, he's probably not getting enough recognition. Now, I don't know. I think you're right, Jay, in the top three, but like,
he can't crack that top three.
I just don't know if he can. I mean, maybe it really depends on what you think in terms of MVP voting. Like, what do you do if Jokic drops into the play-in tournament? If the Nuggets are 7 and in the play-in tournament, does that hurt his MVP candidacy?
Man, I mean, it probably does for like overall. I still look at him like, look at what he has to play with. No offense to, I love me some Bones Highland.
That was extremely offensive. Let's be honest.
But no, but look, man, like, let's they're not be getting Jamal Murray. They're, like, Michael Porter Jr. played like 5 games and he sucked. Like, he's got nothing out there. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I think we can stop pretending that we think Aaron Gordon's like a really good player, right? Like, he's fine. He's fine, but like,
he's your great fourth option.
Right. Except he's their second now, right? Or maybe Monty Morris is, whatever. But like, Monty Morris is a backup point guard. Like, all these dudes other than Aaron Gordon are pretty, or I mean, Will Barton's not a backup, but like, these dudes are like their backup point guards. They're backup wings. They're backup forwards for the most part. And he's having to drag them every single night. And so like, if they fall to the play-in tournament, I get that this would, hurt his candidacy. But it's still on the season. They're plus 7.9 per 100 possessions when he's on the floor, and they're minus 6.4. It's not as extreme as it was, but it's still like that's a big swing.
So yeah, it's hard for Booker to catch that,
when he's
right?
Not out there.
I mean, they're worse than lottery. You have to relegate the team to the G League. But
more of the Kings.
Fair. The Kings aren't in the G League. but that Booker doesn't, I don't think, elevate over Jokic. Now, when you look at Joel Embiid with everything he's done this season, I mean, it's everybody kind of overlooks the fact that when he's on the floor, this team has probably about a 70 win percentage or just under 700 in the win percentage. Only team better than that is Phoenix.
Yeah.
Does with what Embiid's done, is Booker able to jump over that?
No, because here's the thing that would work against Booker here, right? He's missed 11 games. That's a significant number of games. Now, other guys have missed games as well, but you can't like use that against Embiid, but then not use it against Booker, right? Or use it against like certain guys. Like I think, and we'll talk about this in a little bit. Like, I think John Morant is probably probably out of this thing. One, because he's missed a bunch. Like he's missed like what, like 18 games at this point. And he's going to miss more.
He's missed a lot of games.
And, yeah. And they're dominant right when he's not on the floor, like, which I think it's a good sign for the Grizzlies, but it's a bad sign for his MVP candidacy. Maybe he still finishes top five, but with the way Luka and Tatum have surged, you know, I think DeRozan's out, Curry's out, like KD is missed way too many games. But yeah, like, I mean, if we're using that against, you know, Embiid when using, you know, when trying to compare him to Jokic, then yeah, that's got to be a knock on book.
And I think it's unfair to use the COVID absence, because that's the largest stretch that Embiid missed, was out with COVID when everybody was missing with COVID.
Yeah, like, Book missed due to COVID, right? Didn't he have COVID or he's in health and safety protocols twice?
Yeah, and I don't think I'm using that against in my he can't jump over Embiid there. I just think the same argument with, even though the cast is a little bit better than what Denver has, and if Maxey's taking a leap, he's still not playing with a ton of guys with Embiid, right? Like the talent around Embiid, he's really lifted a lot of those guys up. Georges Niang was like shooting the hell out of the ball for the longest time, and a lot of it was the open looks that they created from Embiid. But so I don't think he could jump over Embiid. Giannis is looking like he might win Defensive Player of the Year, at least be a top three vote getter in that.
This is driving me crazy, by the way, because Jay, I read your article. Okay. Very nice. You know, very, very nice arguments for Marcus Smart and Robert Williams III. I think it's great. Threw in Mikal Bridges as like, yeah, maybe he gets some consideration. To me, he's the front runner.
What article was that? I think that was Seth Partnow's.
Was it? Oh, maybe you tweeted out.
Yeah,
Jay doesn't make smart arguments.
It was one of the few things I read. No, it's one of the few things I read on vacation. And so it was a bit of a blur.
it was Seth's. Yeah.
How is Mikal Bridges just an afterthought? Work? Well, take it. You know, that's fine. How is Mikal Bridges an afterthought here?
I don't know. I don't know the numbers. I wasn't ready for this.
It's crazy to me that Mikal Bridges is not like the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year right now.
This is a weird Defensive Player of the Year race because some of the guys, like Rudy Gobert, like his team is just a totally average defense. And obviously that changes a lot when he's out there, but it's not like a classic Rudy season where he's in charge of a top three defense and he's obviously the guy who makes that go. Like, they have some serious holes. He hasn't always covered those holes. Giannis, another guy mentioned, like, their defense has suffered a lot because Brook Lopez hasn't been out there.
Right.
And now Giannis has been used in a different role, whereas before he was, you know, the weak side, block everything, help off all the time guy. Now he's got to do some different responsibilities that I'm not sure he's as good at. You got Ben Simmons, who hasn't even played a game, who was up there last year. And so I think it's a Defensive Player of the Year award that is totally up for grabs. Draymond probably would have won it had he stayed healthy the whole time.
Yeah, if he was healthy, at
the beginning of the season.
Draymond screwed this up, right?
Right.
Draymond completely, like, his back injury, like, completely screwed this up.
And then he had it wrapped up in December. We didn't have to worry about dealing with the Defensive Player of the Year. No, we were
good. We're like, you know, this dude needs another one anyway. He's playing the best defense. Like, we've been good. And now,
you know what? Draymond has to give us his last one back.
What, his only one, right? He's only won one.
That's okay. Crazy.
Well, he has to give it back.
Yeah, well, I think Rudy's going to give him a couple. How about that?
So, but Bridges has to be in any discussion. And then the Celtics have two players who are probably cannibalizing each other.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the Booker CP3 MVP argument, right? MVP, and just in Defensive Player of the Year form, because both those guys have been phenomenal defensively.
Yeah, and if you look at the Celtics have by far the best defense over the last few months. And who deserves the credit for that, when really what separates them is that everybody in the rotation, literally everybody in the rotation, is a plus defender, with the possible exception of Peyton Pritchard. And many of those guys are like plus defender. Like, Al Horford's been awesome. You know, Jason Tatum's been fantastic. Like, on top of Smart and Williams, who have been the ones held up as the Defensive Player of the Year candidates, like, they have other guys that could potentially deserve merit for like all defensive team votes at least. Yeah. So, well, so it's tough. It's a really tough defensive player of the year vote. And I feel like normally this time of year, there's like a pretty clear front runner or two or three guys who have just separated themselves from the pack. But this year, it is really up for grabs.
Yeah. Getting back to MVP, because I do think this matters. So Ja's played 56 games. He's done, right? He's not going to play the rest of the season, right?
I have no feel on it.
They're just going to bench him because they've been better without him?
He tweeted.
That was a stupid joke. They're obviously better with Ja.
I don't know. I seem to think, like, what did he do? He tweaked his knee or something like that? Like, he's out like a couple of weeks, and then they're like, he comes back and it's like, the season's done. So why even play him? Like, they're probably going to be the two seed.
You want to get you if it's not, it's always a risk when you're on the court for injury. But if it's not to the point, you want to give him at least one or two games before the playoffs.
Yeah,
especially because you're going to have that week off too.
Yeah, I guess like I guess so. Yeah, but so okay, he let's say he maxes out at 60 games, right?
Right,
like just maxes out at 60 games. Embiid has played 60 so far. Giannis has played 61, Booker 63, Jokic 68. So it actually isn't the big... I forgot that Jokic missed a little bit of time, so it's not the big gap in games played. Like, eight between Jokic and Embiid is significant, but it's not... I don't know if that's an argument tipper.
Not for me. Not for me at this point. Like, this has been the healthiest Embiid has been, really, in his entire career. Like... You know, there hasn't been, besides the stretch early in the season, there hasn't been a lot of long stretches of missing multiple games at once and things like that. For me, it's not a tipping point. Just, I think he's rolling and it's dominant when he's on the court. So I'm not using that as the qualifier for Embiid. If he had played 52 games, different
sure,
story.
Yeah. But,
right.
Yeah, but they're all kind of just jumbled in at this point. Now, who knows how, like, if guys will miss games the rest of the season, but like anywhere from 60 to 68 games between those four, between Booker, Giannis, Embiid, Jokic, if we're going to throw Booker into the conversation, like, that's not really that. I don't know. I even kind of feel dumb for mentioning now earlier that like Booker has missed 11 games. Like, everyone's just missed a bunch of games at this point.
Well, do we hold when they're trying to tank to avoid having to play Brooklyn in the first round? And they
said, you mean what the Heat doing right now? The Heat are staging these fights? Because they saw Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving highlight the other night. They're like, oh, shit.
Here we go.
Let's not be that team. How do we incredibly lose six straight games? Oh, let's have a brawl.
A clipboard.
Who's gonna do it? Well, it's got to be believable. All right, Jimmy, UD, you go. You guys go. Wait, UD's gonna play? No. Just have him do it in a huddle. It'll be fine.
It wouldn't be believable if UD played.
Well, let's get to that. All right, is there a damage? Is there some kind of hole in Heat culture right now, Mo? Because we're recording this, they have lost four straight. They lost to the Sixers, which doesn't sound that bad, except no Embiid, no Harden. It was a really bad loss. They lose to the Warriors, which doesn't sound that bad, except no Steph, no Dre, no Clay. So that's really bad. They lost to Jordan Poole. Then they lose to the Knicks. That's bad no matter who's playing for that team. And then the Brooklyn Nets really smoked them in the second half.
And gave up a 17-point fourth quarter lead against the Knicks, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they got outscored 38-15 in the fourth quarter with the Knicks with no Julius Randle.
And not counting the game against the Nets, because the fourth quarter didn't matter at that point. They were getting beat so bad. In those three games you mentioned, they averaged 22.3 points a game, 40.3% from the field, and 28.6% from three. And some people tweeted at me going like, yo, it's Tyler Hero wasn't in those games. Like he missed two of them. It doesn't matter. Look, you should beat those teams.
You should beat those teams.
Those were three winnable games.
Yeah.
That you and I know some people are like, oh, they're trying to duck the tanking, like you said, for all that stuff and to avoid the Nets in the first round.
I don't think they're doing that. I
don't think so at all. There is something wrong. And more importantly,
move by Spo, man.
Well, so it's light years ahead, right? Yeah. Like, well,
I talked to. How do I get my team to implode and therefore miss out on the top two seed? I got to spark a fight with you.
Amin and I were doing Mad Dog Friday night. We had George Sedano on. You know, George like knows the Heat organization as well as anybody, and so we kind of asked like about that. You know, this is before the Nets loss, I think it was right after they lost to the Knicks, and we asked like, you know, about the argument in the huddle between UD and Jimmy and everything, and he was just kind of like, yeah, Spo loves this shit. And it's like, what? He's like, Spo loves this drama. And it was like, oh my God. Like, so I do think like Spo is probably enjoying this. And like, yes, we need to like ruffle some feathers here. Maybe we got too comfortable. You know, our late game execution hasn't been what it needs to be and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know if that's necessarily translated to the roster. Like, I don't know if we can use this as like a tactic.
I feel like, feel like that was actually Jimmy's love language, though.
Yeah, but Jimmy's love language is different than everybody else's love language.
But I'm saying he's like, Udonis is my guy. Like Spo is my guy for that. Like as bad as it got in the moment, I feel like that only fortified things for Jimmy. Right. Like he's like, those are my brothers now. That those guys will have my back if I need them to.
My favorite part of that whole clip was just Kyle Lowry just like getting out of there, just walking away. Like no, I'm not doing this.
Not him going. Hey, we need another timeout.
Yeah, he was like, not today, man. Not today. I'm not going to be involved with this shit.
But the only problem with that is it didn't work. The next game, they blew a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
without Julius Randle. Oh like, it's not like, oh, wow, they were – I mean, and it was a fourth quarter lead. Like, they were – they looked like, okay, you can start spinning it that way. Hey, look, we got our juices going. That fight was good for us, right. All of that. No, but the bigger problem, Zach, is they're terrible in crunch time situations. Oh,
they're so bad. They're so bad offensively in crunch time.
In that game against Philly, end of game stuff, right? Like, we're talking last 2 minutes. This is when you go matchup hunting. The Sixers had Furkan Korkmaz on the floor and Paul Millsap. How do you not attack that? Every play down. They were attacking Hero every possession down. How are you not going at Korkmaz on the other side and Paul Millsap?
And you have the king of like the dude who tries to seek out those mismatches, get the switch, and then just be either too quick or too strong for him and Jimmy Butler, right? Like he should be a guy that can go like, all right, I'm gonna force a switch with Korkmaz and go at him, or I'm gonna force a switch with Millsap and go at him. And it was just like none of it worked. Like nothing they tried to do was any kind of competent.
Yeah, and it's weird timing for this because they went through a whole season when everyone was falling apart, when everyone was in shambles. They were the team that just kind of kept plugging away, kept getting wins. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter who was out, they just kept getting wins. I'm a little, the question I have about them is that they have to kind of choose in crunch time whether to go with defenders or offensive players, right?
Like, right. And their crunch time defense is pretty good. I think it's around top 10.
Yeah, and if they go with an all, like their all defense team, it's like Bam Adebayo, PJ Tucker, Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, who else will be out there, whoever. But you could put together an amazing defensive team. My problem with them is like their offense works better if Tyler Hero's out there, if Duncan Robinson's out there, if Max Strus is out there. Like, and I know Max Strus hasn't always played a lot lately, but have more shooting out there. And so to me, they just have to make decisions in crunch time. Whereas some other teams just have five guys who can do it, who they can trust to do everything. And that's where I wonder about the Heat. Like Spoelstra's going to have to make some decisions in those moments. Do I go with one sort of lineup? Do I go with another? And I don't know, like the offense scares me a little bit. They're I think 14th in the NBA right now. And some of that is that they've been missing guys throughout the year. But I also do wonder if they have enough, like with their main guys, because like I said, some of their better offensive players are some guys that make, you know, more of an offensive difference. Aren't necessarily in huge roles or like Hero coming off the bench, even though obviously he's a big role.
So who are you more worried about right now? We have the Heat as they're kind of spiraling a little bit, and maybe it's a tactic, and probably not. Their crunch time offense is 26th in the NBA. Only the Pistons, Pacers, Spurs, and Knicks are worse. This year, not good company. Yeah, not That's good company to be in. And by the way, the Heat are worse than the Magic. The Heat are worse than the Magic. Oh, wow. Gosh, time offense. Magic
That's
are next.
That's Cole Anthony time.
It is Cole Anthony time. Yeah, that is Cole Anthony time. So are you more worried about the Heat as they, you know, kind of fall out of the one seed here? Or are you more worried about the Warriors who, yes, Draymond is back, but, you know, Klay is, until that that game against Atlanta, like, Klay was really struggling. I think he hit a tough stretch where, or, you know, this started, like, catching up to his body. And, oh, by the way, Steph has a foot injury.
Yeah, I'm more worried about the Warriors just because I think they have so much to figure out. Like, forget about Draymond getting back to top speed and Steph's injury and Klay not being 100%. Like, Steve Kerr still is trying to figure out who to start. He's still trying to figure out which rotation guys to use. How much do I use Kuminga in a playoff series? How much do I use Gary Payton the second? How much do I use, like, basically anyone on the roster, like, outside of Klay, Steph, and Draymond? And I think even Klay could see, like, a weird role, because I could foresee a time in the playoffs when you have to choose between keeping Klay on the court and him not being right, or benching Klay and giving yourself a better chance to win. And it won't necessarily get to that, but it could. It really could. Yeah. And so I just think they have so much that they haven't figured out yet. And maybe they can fall back on, you know, the way they played in the first half of the season when they had a lot of their guys available, when Steph and Draymond were both right. And maybe they can get back to that level. But to me, there's just, like, so many variables to that team with, you know, they just benched Looney. They are clearly trying to figure out, like, what lineups to use, what version of themselves works best. And I think that's totally unsolved right now. A lot of that.
I mean, the other big problem that I think's not getting enough recognition is, where is Andrew Wiggins gone?
Yo, he right? is, like, fall, I, like, you know, like, I want, terrible. I forgot to mention this.
What was it called? K-pop? Like, K-pop?
Yeah. But
K-pop stole Wiggins, man.
PJ Tucker hasn't hit a shot, I don't think, since the All-Star break. I think Wiggins has hit one. Like, those two have, right. For those two respective teams, have really struggled.
It was probably a bank shot. It was probably a 2-3 foot miss that just happened to bank in.
Yeah.
He goes from shooting 41% from three to 31 after the All-Star break. Like, it's he's getting the same minutes. He's getting the same opportunities.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's Draymond was out, and now Steph's out. Like, that's two huge difference makers for the quality of looks that he's going to be getting.
That's a great point. But still, they need him to be the guy, to be 40% from three right. at this point, right? Like, those are the things that are really going to hurt them. And, you know, I had a lot of questions about a lot of their role players, just guys who I was like, these guys have never played in the playoffs. And, you know, we saw last year with the Suns, like, maybe that doesn't matter. For me, that was more of just, hey, those guys got going at the right time. I don't believe in a lot of these guys. And even though Poole's gotten hot lately, I still am just looking at it going, like, I don't know what this team's going to look like in the playoffs. And I'm way more worried about them than the Miami Heat. And part of it is because I never really believed in the Heat.
Ooh.
But this team's really struggled. I mean, it's obviously Draymond out killed their defense, all of that. And it's hard to get back to that.
Where are you at on the Heat, Zach? Because you're the most bullish Heat guy in world history.
With and without Steph this year. Me?
Yeah.
Where am I? Oh, I think they're probably fine. But, I mean, I'm taking Milwaukee over anybody at this point in the East. And, I there's still part of me that's like, KD and some dudes. Like, I will roll with KD and some dudes, you know? Like, I know that there are a bunch of questions there. There are a bunch of holes, and it doesn't look good at times. But for me, like, I kind of just keep going, like, I believe in Kevin Durant. Like if I'm not gonna like believe in the lore of Kevin Durant here, then I'll go with Milwaukee. But I don't think the Heat are nearly in the trouble that people seem to be freaking out about. But they've got some shit to fix in the next couple of weeks. Back to Wiggins. Like, this is Wiggins with and without Curry on the floor this year. With Curry on the floor, 48.8% from the field, 41.7% from three. Without him, 41.6% from the field, 33.3% from three.
He's
out for the next, 2 weeks or a week? I don't know what it is at this point.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
That's brutal. And then the demand on Clay at this point is a little bit unfair for considering a guy who basically sat out 2 years.
Yeah, like, he's just got to be viewed as like Duncan Robinson.
Whatever you get, it's a bonus.
Yeah.
Right. Whatever you get, great.
If he doesn't, and if he plays like Clay, then great, but you can't expect him to be Clay.
No. And I think there's going to be nights like that Atlanta night,
holy
right,
shit.
Where he goes off.
Real quick, hold on. Right? Andrew Wiggins post All-Star break, 3-point percentage when Steph isn't on the floor, 26.1%.
Forget the 3-point percentage. He's shooting 50% from the free throw lines post All-Star break.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
16 for 32.
Yeah. It's tough.
And he's not even getting three attempts a game, which is weird for Andrew Wiggins.
Man, his first 3 years in the league, he lived the free throw line.
Yeah, he was a free throw beast.
I don't really want to.
Then he moved out.
He was getting like 600 attempts a year. Like, it was nuts.
This team though, I don't think I would be worried about them going up against Memphis in the second round.
I would be worried about them getting to the second round.
If they get Denver in the first round.
If they get Dallas in the first round, like whoever.
And the other variable to that is Steph going to be right by the first round of the playoffs? You know, like the timeline is pushing it.
It helps that the play-in gives them an extra few days now, right?
Yeah.
That helps. But yeah, like, I mean, it's a foot injury. Do you ever feel good about a foot injury coming back? And like, no.
You need at least a couple weeks of conditioning too,
yeah.
Right? Like, that's going to take a
especially
minute.
Especially with the it's way he plays. Jesus.
Right. And the difference between like Chris Paul's hand injury is CP can do cardio still. Right. With the foot injury, nope, you can't. You know, like that's the challenge.
You do get to do that cool underwater treadmill thing though. I've always wanted to do that.
I could also see them as a team that just keeps building as the playoffs progress. Like not looking great at all against Denver in the first round. And then Steph gets a little better. Draymond's in better shape. Clay gets a little used to it. And then some of the young guys get more used to the playoff competition. And then they start looking sharper. I don't think that's out of the question either. They're really a wild card right now because the way they played at the beginning of the season, they were right up there with Phoenix for the most machine team in the league. Like, they had everyone bought in. Everyone was on the same page. Defensively, they were awesome. And I think the defense can carry them maybe while they figure some other stuff out. But we'll see. They're total wild card to me right now.
This will be fun. This will be a nice little throwback for you, Jay. Kyrie Irving says he wants to stay somewhere long term.
I remember that one.
So if you remember, the Nets had like a 4-year, like, what was it, like 180, 185 extension for Kyrie on the table at one point. And then, he wouldn't get vaccinated. And then we didn't know if he was going to, when he was going to play. And they pulled it. And so this is from Andrew Lopez of ESPN. Quote, "To be honest, I signed up for this for the long run. For me, it has always been about being comfortable and loving where I'm at. I love it here. Once that summertime hits, I know we'll have some conversations, but there's no way I could leave my man seven anywhere." So he doesn't want to leave Kevin Durant.
He could have signed an extension already.
Well, they took it off the table, right? Like,
I guess he could have signed it before they took it off the table, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, he could have. And then the Nets kind of pulled it. But the one thing about Kyrie, it's like he could feel that way today. I have no idea how he's going to feel that way, if he's going to feel that way tomorrow, right? Like, that's the thing about Kyrie. Yeah. It's so unpredictable.
The something that's funny to me too is just the verbal tick that people have when they're like, to be honest with you, I'm like, you've been lying this whole time.
Are you?
Like,
yeah, right. Put that up there with no offense.
Right. I'm just saying,
with all due respect.
Exactly. But yeah, like when he starts off with, to be honest, I'm like, uh oh, here we go. What's Kyrie going to say here? But yeah, like I immediately thought of, you know, someday I want to have my number up in the rafters in Boston and everything. And I know it's different this time than it is with the Celtics, but also maybe it's not, Jay.
But, yeah, maybe. But I do think the Kevin Durant layer is real, too. Like, they're tight. They're good friends. They, like, he really, really appreciates Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm. Also for...
So maybe that will be something that keeps him around. Maybe that will be something that actually makes him honor his word this time. I think he's done this at every stop, right? Like, he did it in Cleveland.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
he came out and said he was going to stay in Cleveland. And then Boston, obviously, there was a whole skeptical. And
I think he did a commercial. Like, he did a commercial in Boston. He did. Yeah, putting my jersey up in the rafters.
In the rafter. That's incredible.
A good commercial, man. It was a good commercial.
It was a great commercial. It was completely bullshit.
Oh, so it was a commercial.
Somebody got to buy an NFT of that.
Talking about bullshit.
No, De'Aaron Fox is on it. I think it's worth noting that Kevin Durant hasn't really, at least publicly, hammered Kyrie over this like missing game stuff because of the mandate, right? Like, Kyrie has actually been pretty supportive. I don't know what it's like behind closed doors. I assume it's pretty similar, but I think that kind of helps lead towards that.
And the guy who was pissed about it got traded.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, that's a great point, too. Like, and I do think it lends itself to kind of showing, you know, more comfort there. And if Kyrie is, you know, talking about like, hey, I want to be comfortable where I am. This has been, by a lot of reporting, a lot of, you know, rumors, of this has been the most comfortable situation you could imagine for a player like Kyrie.
The Celtics went over, like, totally bent over backwards for the guy, too, though. And I think, honestly, like, this whole situation in Brooklyn, it seems like they're afraid of pissing him off.
All right, guys. Last topic of today. LeBron James won an award. It's not MVP. It's not All-NBA, although I'm sure some people will vote for him for that. It's the Razzie, the 2022 Golden Raspberry Award for Worst Actor in a Film. He won it for...
I thought it was going to be Defensive Player of the Year.
For Space Jam, A New Legacy. Space Jam, A New Legacy was very popular with the Razzies, according to NBC Sports. They picked up a few other awards. Worst Screen Combo, which was LeBron with any Warner Brothers character. Worst Prequel, Worst Prequel, Ripoff, or Sequel as well. But did not win Worst Movie. Also worth noting, it made $162 million at the box office during a pandemic, which is pretty good. So maybe he gets the last laugh in there. I don't remember the movie at all. I wrote something on it. The only thing I remember is thinking, like, this is about 40 minutes too long.
I don't remember the second half of it because I turned it off after the first half.
You didn't even make it to the game?
Nope. I definitely did not make it to the game. It was a weird movie, man. It was just strange.
It was bad. Like, that's all I got. Like, it was just not good. I'm not at all shocked.
What about the idea that it's for kids and it's not for us?
That's fair. I mean,
and also, to be fair, the first one sucked too.
Yeah, I'm about to say the first one wasn't good either. Watch that as an adult.
It's awful.
But you know the difference is, I don't feel like
30 minutes of runtime.
MJ, well, that. But I don't think MJ was trying to act. Whereas LeBron was trying to act, right? I felt like that might have been the difference. Also, I haven't seen the original Space Jam in God knows how long.
Don't do it. Like, Like, whatever your memory as a kid, like, just keep that. Because I watched it as an adult.
Oh, trust me, I have no intentions.
The other difference was the soundtrack, man. Soundtrack for Space Jam original was crazy.
Oh, man. It was so, yeah, that's what, because that's the thing. Whenever I've over the years, I'm like, yo, the first Space Jam sucked. People always go, yeah, but the soundtrack's so good. It's like, what does that have to do with anything?
Yes, I go to movies for the soundtrack.
Exactly. Like, oh, that movie sucked. Like, yeah, but did you see the trailers before it? Amazing. Like, doesn't do anything.
It wasn't a Disney musical. Like, what are we talking about?
Exactly. Also, shout out to the big game from.
Do we think Space Jam 2 ruined the Lakers?
Was Westbrook in it? Westbrook wasn't in it, right? So maybe that's what's torn them apart all year.
He chose Dame for that. Maybe that's the problem.
Oh, maybe that. Well, he did try to recruit Dame. Remember?
Yeah, maybe this was.
He brought him to the house.
First off, if you're using the movie as a recruiting tool, this failed. And this was an expensive
failure. You don't know
what
the royalties are on this. You don't know what that payout is, you know?
He's going to make a ton of money if you just used it as a recruiting tool to get Dame to the Lakers. It didn't work.
I mean, Jordan used it as a way to get back in shape to, you know, to go do his comeback. You know?
Yeah. How's that worked
out
for
LeBron?
Imagine
what Jordan did to Sean Bradley, man. Oh my God. That must have been tough in the pickup game.
Yeah, that must have been real bad. All right, that's good. Speaking of real bad, go watch Space Jam: A New Legacy. That's going to do it for us. Make sure you're subscribed to The Athletic. Make sure you're checking out all the other shows on The Athletic NBA Show Network, Athletic NBA Show Podcast, The Network, everything. No Dunks, What I Missed with Michelle Beadle, all the team-specific shows. Make sure you're getting those every morning in your podcast feeds. Rate, subscribe, follow, whatever they say, whatever the wording is, unsubscribe, resubscribe, do all that stuff. For Jay King, for Mo Dakhil, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked on The Athletic for this playoff run.